This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
Our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
We must guard against the military-industrial complex.
Exopolitics, paranormal phenomena, and deep analysis of current world events from somewhere in the desert between Area 51 and Roswell, blasting across the planet. The Manticore Network proudly presents Fairy Tales, because the truth will set you free.
Headline edition, July 8, 1947. The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
The power they took from the people will return to the people. And so long as men die, liberty will never perish. Soldiers, don't fight for slavery, fight for liberty!
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Sooner or later, though, you always have to wake up.
Be skeptical, but don't close your mind.
Greetings to everyone around the world, and a warm welcome to another edition of Veritas, alternative media for discerning minds. I'm your host, Mel Fabregas, and I sincerely thank you for joining me once again. And if this is your first time, make yourself at home. I want to thank all our members for your loyalty and support. Without you, this show would not have been possible. Tonight's special guest has been requested by many of you for months. And I must confess, this is one of the deepest and most intense interviews I have ever conducted. My curiosity about everything took over. Our special guest tonight is George Cavazos. It is absolutely incredible that we were able to discuss so many areas in the span of almost 3 hours. If you frequently listen to this show, you know the most important questions for me are: who are we? Where do we come from? And where are we going? George Cavazos has had a very interesting life and is tapping into knowledge from within, and will report what he knows to be true. Tonight, I ask you to be more open-minded than usual, and please consider the impossible as possible. It will be a very exciting, enlightening, and revealing interview. George Cavazos will be with us shortly. To listen to tonight's full show and the new material on Veritas TV, including a new video lecture by Jim Nichols about the military-industrial complex and the Ronald Reagan presidential ET briefing, become a member. You'll receive instant access to all of our material. And remember, Veritas survives on your voluntary subscriptions only. No sponsorship equals no censorship. Think about the next time you spend $7.95. Do you really receive any value? That is what you pay per month as a Veritas member. And you receive over 127 shows, all in CD audio quality, Veritas TV, on our very unique Manticore forum, where you can interact with enlightened people around the world to discuss everything that matters. So just go to the subscribe link of our website, veritasshow.com, and take Veritas with you. You can also download our latest show via iTunes. During these days of uncertainty, the uncensored truth is priceless. Don't wait any longer. Subscribe today. You can also purchase our futuristic 8GB metal case USB drive with seasons 1 or 2 with bonus material. I know a lot of you have issues with low hard disk space or your internet connection is slow, so this is the perfect fit for you. Go to the Veritas store for more information. And don't forget, get your MMS right from us. It's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Listen to Jim Humble's interview for more information. Just go to the past shows link. And I know a lot of you have written to me, those of you who travel a lot. I know you're buying a lot of the traveler kits. And thanks to all of you who are writing about the upcoming eSETI event from June 24th through the 27th, letting me know you'll be there. I've already received a lot of messages from people in the United States, Canada, Costa Rica, and even Europe. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. Go to eSETI.org for more information. Check out the speakers, Bob Dean, Dr. Carol Rosen, Michael Tellinger, Neil Kramer, and more. And of course, I'll be there with you. And if you need to get in touch with me, click on the contact button of our website, veritasshow.com, and join me on Facebook. And now, get ready for answers to critical questions. Who are we? Where do we come from? Where are we going? What does it mean when we hear that life as we know it ends in 2012? Who are the masters of deception who rule this planet and our lives? What's the purpose of our moon? Is it natural? Who towed it there? For answers to these and many more questions, George Kavassalas is coming up next. This is Mel Fabregas, and you're listening to Veritas. Don't go anywhere.
This is James Gilliland, and you're listening to The Veritas Show.
George Kavassalas has had an incredible variety of experiences, including traveling up through the dimensions of our universe and rediscovering what life here on this planet is all about. It is more significant than you are led to believe. George shares his knowledge and wisdom gained over a lifetime of extraordinary experiences, including meeting and interacting on and off-world with many different ET races, both benevolent and malevolent. George shares his comprehensive understanding of the ascension process and the two main phases of our DNA's transformation into Homo Illuminus or Human, or more correctly, God-Man. And directly from Northern Adelaide, Australia, I would like to introduce for the first time, George Kavassalas. Hello, George, and welcome to Veritas. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Mel. I'm very well, and I'm really excited about our discussion today. It's going to be very, very good, very informative and lots of fun.
Absolutely. And George, in the past few months, as I was telling you offline, a large number of our listeners have contacted me requesting to bring you on. And I'm glad we finally did, especially because this is very timely. As you and I were discussing offline, it seems that you and your wife have known about the earth changes and the changes in humanity and the planet for quite some time. But first, let me just say that our program is always searching for answers to three primordial questions. Who are we? Where do we come from? And where are we going? For those who don't know who you are, give us some background of yourself and tell us about your incident in 2003, which you call a connection with your higher self. And that's when you also received the answers to the three primordial questions. Tell us more.
Yeah, sounds incredible, doesn't it? And here I am, just an everyday guy who doesn't have a background of academia. And so I'm not a scientist and I'm not, pretty much a professional of any kind. And it's really, in one way, I see it as a blessing because that way my mind hasn't been quite tainted or programmed or has the slants within the framework of my mind. But having said that, I've also experienced extraterrestrial interactions throughout my life. And so there has been an actual intense, I would say, programming of my mind to a certain degree for many reasons. And one of them, the overall reason would have to be, Mel, that there was always going to be a time in my life that I was going to step forward and share my experiences. And so these beings understanding what my role was going to be here worked extensively in making sure that they could impede it, if not stop it altogether. But they haven't succeeded. And it's wonderful now to be in a place within myself where I can actually come to terms with everything and be at peace with everything and begin to share it. And I must say, you know, the information I do share, I'll be the first one to admit that it does sound crazy and can be looked upon as just deluded or part of a program that's designed to, I could say, and some would say probably distract people from really what's going on. And, you know, I have a different take on that. And, you know, I feel that the information I'm sharing is what's important. And without creating divides here, it's just I feel that there's a lot of drama that's taking place, conspiratorial drama. It's a massive agenda on the planet at the moment, and I feel that those are actually the distractions from what's about to happen. So I have a slightly different take on that, and you know, and that's okay. It's really that's the spice of life to have all these different perspectives. And so yeah, I'll be sharing some information today that will really push people's boundaries. And a lot of people might just feel uncomfortable with what I share and think I'm just one of these crazy nutters who are just foolish enough to put out there a prediction. And I really just want to share what I've learned from my heart. And, you know, if I wasn't to say this information and things do come to pass, then I wouldn't feel that I've played my role in life here. And so if I share these things and they don't come to pass, well, you know, I feel it's really important that at least I've had the courage to get up and stand true in my convictions in life. And at least I provided a service for people that they can contemplate life to the degree that's required if you're going to entertain the concepts that I'm going to share and the coming changes that I'm going to share. So by that way, I'm serving people in the way that they can really it really helps people to overcome their attachments to this level of reality and this level of life. As we're going through these incredible changes, then you know what? Maybe I'm the one who's swinging the pendulum to an extreme side of the swing and providing that service for people, taking it to the ultimate extreme on one level. So maybe there's some sort of balance there in the middle. But I will speak in the affirmative at times today. I honor all journeys, all soul journeys, and I feel it's important for me just to speak from my heart as to what I know is real and what is not real. So having said that, we can probably get stuck into it because there's quite a lot to share. And, sure. You know, the talks that I do, Mel, are usually all-day seminars, and they run for about 8 to 10 hours. So, and even that sometimes is not enough time to share all the information to actually grasp the message that I'm sharing. So we'll give it our best shot, eh?
And we'll try to squeeze your brain as much as we can in the 2 hours that we have. But just to establish foundation, do you consider yourself an abductee, contactee, or experiencer?
Both. I've actually had both. It's the abductions that I've experienced throughout my life have been quite profound. My memories go back as far as 5 years old, and that memory of that particular incident when I was 5 years old was quite intense, and I was very frightened, and it was a malevolent of nature. Now, I've had experiences with many different grey races. I've had experiences with draconian and reptilian races. I've had experiences with cricket races, with mantis beings, and incredibly evil, angelic, human-looking beings, blonde-haired, blue-eyed beings. There's some wonderful blonde-haired, blue-eyed races out there. I've had incredible experiences with benevolent beings as well. So
Hold
my
on.
Experiences.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but you said something that contradicted all of a sudden. Angelic, evil-looking beings. Explain that.
Yeah, sure. There's a group of extraterrestrials who have, throughout eons of evolution of time, going around marauding the most powerful genetics possible, because out there, Mel, genetics are the number one commodity. If you know, for those who have that thirst and that lust for power and control, mineral substances or just physical substances are really at the very low end of anything of achieving these means. And then you move into the world of technology, and that can only do so much for you. And then beyond that, you get into the actual organic life force. And so genetics that can access life force in the cosmos for these beings and these cabals who are into this kind of thing, that is the number one commodity. And so when you have a planet, which is the microcosm of the macrocosm, and I'm referring to our planet, planet Earth, then and you have this embodiment called human, which represents God-man, which I'll get to, you have all the codes of life force in our genetics. So our genetics are the most prized possession in the universe, and they are really fascinated in the human race, because they want to access more life force. We access more life force than any other race in the universe. And I'm not saying that as an arrogant or egotistical statement. I'm just purely stating fact, universal fact.
But when you say evil, angelic in the same sentence, or evil, angelic looking beings, the first word that comes to mind is deception. Explain the evil, angelic. That part seems contradictory to me to have in the same sentence.
Yeah, it can do. These beings have marauded and taken the best genetics out of all the different races that exist and created an embodiment for themselves, a container that they can occupy. And they look very beautiful, like incredibly attractive humanoid-looking beings. At the same time, they're really quite powerful. And at the same time, they present as beings of light and beings of high spiritual stature. And they're actually interested in only controlling and feeding off the energy of others. And the way they go about it is incredibly sophisticated. So these are this particular group. Geez, we've gone straight into the drama here. This is really juicy stuff. Yeah. This one particular group that I've interacted with are from Orion, these Nordics from Orion. And they come across as very advanced spiritual beings, and they're not what they seem. And they have an agenda, and they're in contact at the moment with you can call it the shadow government and the hidden forces behind the scenes on our planet. And they're the ones that are actually pulling the strings as to what's going on here. And they're the local office in our galaxy of this intergalactic cabal, which is marauding the cosmos and doing some pretty nasty things to a lot of different races of life.
So basically they're masters of deception, because we've heard about the Nordics, we've heard about these beings of light, and we hear good things about them, but your experience has been the opposite.
Exactly. There are some Nordics that are fantastic beings, but this one particular race who is in contact with our military and shadow government behind the scenes are not what they seem. And I've dealt with them personally. When you actually are in their presence, it's almost like you're dealing with an energy that's a cross between the Pope, James Bond, and and Gandhi and Dalai Lama and all these wonderful sort of energies. And when they have an agenda, and if you don't conform to what they would like you to do and the way they would like you to be, then they can get really nasty. And I've experienced that firsthand.
To what extent is the relationship with the hidden hand, or as you call it, the shadow government, what is the relationship based on?
The relationship is based on, to understand who we are is to understand, to understand that relationship is to understand who we are. The whole thing just falls into place. If you have the understanding of who and what we are on this planet, then all of a sudden you realize why so many extraterrestrial races have an interest in us. Because we're a planetary race of beings who have experienced just about everything there is to experience in this universe. And this is the incredible hidden truth behind who we are. Because the truth, the reality of who we are, is buried beneath so many layers of manipulated truths and deceptions and deceit, that the reality of who we are, Mel, is that we have come to this planet and we've incarnated into this generic form called human, and that we have come from all corners of the universe to do this so we can reattain balance in our beings, in our souls, and become universal creators. Because this is the very end result of an incredible journey in this universe, that the construct of this universe is light. And we've all chosen to enter this universe and experience it for everything it has to offer, and learn how to be this construct of light, because that's what we do. And, for me to preface this understanding, I really need to go back to my experience in 2003. Otherwise, what I say, just people just won't grasp it. And to understand who we actually are, and we've ended up here on Mother Earth at this time. It's been an incredible journey. And the ones who are incarnated here on Earth are really the brave. It took a lot of courage for us to come here, to be totally stripped of everything, to be immersed into a reality that is so separated from the rest of life in such a profound way, and to be at the whim of other energies that wish to do nothing but control and manipulate and impede us. Is taking so much courage. And once you get past the veil that this planet is under, and then you get beyond the cosmic veil that these realities are under. And I mean, David Icke says problem, reaction, solution. And it's brilliant, because that's so true. And for those who understand that process, it does not only exist on a planetary level, which most people think it does. It actually exists on a cosmic level as well. So the cosmic paradigms that we are exposed to at the moment, and I don't mean the actual physical structure of the solar system and the galaxy, I mean paradigms that create this. It has to do with awareness of beings, of states of consciousness. So this cosmic paradigm, this cosmic veil that we are being exposed to with these particular groups of extraterrestrial races, they all actually belong to a particular paradigm. And when you get past that veil, then you get to the reality, and you get to all these extraterrestrial races and different dimensional paradigms with life, because the universe is full of life. Really, if anyone thinks we're alone, that's, you really got to take a good look at yourself of why you're thinking that in the first place.
It's the height of arrogance to think that.
Yeah, it's really, people say I'm insane. Really, I kind of tend to think it's the other way around. To think that we're all alone in the universe that's full of life is insane, really, and deluded. So, you get to this reality that is just everything is one with the universe, and everything is one with life. And there's this complete understanding of who and what we are, and we are held in the highest of regard and the highest of esteem. for having the courage to come here and do what we're doing to show the way and become what we are becoming. And this is not a fantasy. This is not, you know, stroking people's egos to make them feel incredible and to give them false hope. This is reality of who and what we are. And I can categorically say that because I've taken the journeys so many times and I've gotten to rediscover what life here on this planet is actually all about. It's a big call, I know. But, you know, people say no one really knows what's going on. You hear that all the time. Everybody's just got a piece of the puzzle. And maybe I just have a piece of the puzzle. But I think I've got a pretty big piece. And when I hear this concept of no one really knows, what I'm actually hearing in the undertones of that is nobody's allowed to know.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Anybody who ever claims to actually know, then they're arrogant, they're deluded. That means they don't really know. It means they're giving false information. And, you know, the extent of my travels and the extent of my experiences show me that there's a whole multitude of people on this planet that actually do know, but not many are stepping forward at this time and actually sharing that. And so what I've found, Mel, is with me getting out there on the world stage now and actually sharing my experiences, the amount of people that are coming forward and saying, George, I've always known this. I've always felt that this is the real truth of who we are, why we're here. I've felt it in my heart all along, but no one was out there saying it. So thank goodness, finally, there's a voice out there in the wilderness that's actually saying this stuff. And that will probably explain why you've had so many people getting in touch with you to say, you know, maybe you want to get this guy on your show.
Absolutely. And you say that we are now a false and synthetic construct of what we're supposed to be. Is this because of the eradication of knowledge? I'm referring to, for example, the burning of the Library of Alexandria, the Inquisition, the burning of witches, etc. Why was all this knowledge eradicated? I think it's because the less we know, the less we ask, and therefore we remain subjugated. What is your perspective on this?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. And you can include that, you know, the crucifixion of Jesus being nailed to that cross, because what the symbol of the cross actually means is the sword and the stone. The crucifix in the mound is no different to Excalibur, the sword and the stone. The two symbols are identical. And by that being nailed to that cross, it heralded the beginning of the Dark Ages. So there's a lot more to that story than people are being told. To actually know what the true sacrifice of that man was as well, there's so much more. Like, who was he anyway? So to understand who he was, to understand who the feminine attribute of that being was, which is Mary Magdalene. Who is this planet? To know the answers to these questions is the questions people need to start really asking is, who is the consciousness of this planet that I've actually incarnated onto? And who is the consciousness of the solar system that I've decided to come inside of and have this experience? And really, the death of knowledge, the death of wisdom is what occurred 2,000 years ago and heralded the Dark Ages. And we really bottomed out. We took, you know, it'll depend which level you want to look at this from, because I've got I'll share these answers from a multidimensional perspective, because we've got our level of awareness down here and we could say that it's been horrendous. You know, the level of deprivation of human spirit and separation to such an nth degree of passiveness, of, you know, people burnt at the stake, people beaten just for thinking differently from the church, for example. You know, it's so horrendous. So who's the church and what are they up to? And, you know, there's just so many questions. That's why I said to you that, you know, to fit it all in a couple of hours is a little bit challenging. But really, to sum it all up is to go right back to that big question, or the big answer and the big picture. We are an embodiment of beings who are a fractal of the universe. We are universes that are in the process of becoming, okay? And there are energies in this universe that want to do their best to stop us from becoming that. Now, from a much higher level of awareness, okay, this is all in perfect divine order, because we actually contracted them to do this to us. As insane as that sounds, it's about understanding things from a multi-dimensional perspective. We have higher aspects of ourselves, because let me put it like this. This life that you're having, Mel, obviously was not organized by Mel, okay? Or this life that I'm having as George was not organized by my personality as George, because George is the personality of this individual incarnational lifetime. So which part of me made the decision to come here in the first place? That is the part that I'm talking about. There's a part of us that is outside this reality, that is beyond our incarnational construct, and that is the part of us that made the decision to incarnate on this earth, okay? So when you reconnect with that aspect of yourself, then you realize that who is the composer, who is the orchestrator and the conductor of these lives that we're having and all the experiences that we have. And when you begin to reconnect with that, then you no longer play the blame game. You know, you remove yourself from victimhood. You start taking responsibility for your life, and you actually become grateful for every experience that you have, because that's the place I needed to go to understand all the abductions that I went through of a malevolent nature, you see. And you start to get this really grander understanding of life, how everything is orchestrated, how everything is by design, and what we're all doing here. And you understand that all these forces of negativity and darkness are actually serving us. They're actually in service to us. And we learn through these experiences. Without these challenges, we wouldn't be who we are. We wouldn't learn, we wouldn't grow and be who we are.
So are you saying that we must go through adversity in order to grow?
Yeah. Excuse me, I just needed a drink of water. Yes, I do. That's the nature of this reality. It's a dualistic reality. And if you were just to remain in a little room wrapped up in cotton wool in your little comfort zone,
right,
and never experience anything, you would never learn anything. You would just sit there in a passive state of this cozy little blissful state and just remain there and just be that constantly. So the nature of this reality is that you need to go out there, live life, experience everything, come across challenges, and get out there and learn and live and be. And that's the nature of this, the way this universe is designed. And it's an incredible, incredible way and expression of life to, instead of allowing these other energies to create that internal divide where you become resentful towards your very existence here and you become resentful towards everything that's going on here, if you actually, first of all, embrace your own negativity and your own shadows, and then you begin to embrace the negativity around you and understand the purpose, its role in life, then everything changes. And these energies no longer have power over you. It's an incredible way to actually, you know, these realizations are massive. And the information that I share for people is about self-empowerment. You know, when I took that journey in 2003 and I went up through the dimensions of our universe and I got to see life, what this universe is about, and then I got to see outside this universe, that was the really profound moment, to be just pure energy and to see outside this universe and to know that this universe is light, and to know that we are out there as well into the omniverse, and that we are truly infinite, to know that we are eternal and infinite, and there's no beginning and end to us, that we are all part of the all, Mel. And so once you really understand that, then nothing can control you anymore. It's game over.
The three primordial questions. You seem to have the answer. Who are we? Where do we come from? And where are we going? That could be a good foundation.
Yeah. Okay. And also, Mel, I also want to address the issue of synthetic construct, because yes, that's very, very important. Our bodies, our embodiments are not synthetic constructs. Our awareness is a synthetic construct. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's two very distinctive pieces of understanding. And it's all about perception and the way people perceive life.
You mean, you know, the programming? Reality, it's programming.
Yeah. This reality is not an illusion. Our level of awareness that we have in this reality is the illusion. Mm. It's the mind construct that is the illusion. The planet itself and the natural environment is not an illusion. That is actually organic life. And this synthetic construct, which we call universal law, LAW, is the synthetic authoritarian construct overlaid over the natural order of things, which is universal law, LORE, two very, very different and distinctive states of being. And I've crossed over to LORE, and that's the state of self-empowerment. So two very different things. And once that is known, once you cross over to LORE and away from LAW, that's when you're free. That's when they no longer have control over you. So I just want to make that point clear.
Sure.
The primordial questions: who are we? Where do we come from? And what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll summarize that. Okay. When I took this journey in 2003, my galactic family turned up, and they're a group of extraterrestrial beings who majority of them come from the Sirius system, because that's where me as a being has incarnated mostly from. Because we have many energetic streams. We have many aspects of ourselves out there in the cosmos. And so the majority of me comes from the blue star of Sirius. And the star itself is a planet on a higher level. And that's understanding the different dimensional planes of the universe. And so when they came to pick me up, it was family straight away. I knew exactly what was going on. There was no them proving to me who they are or anything like that. It was just instant knowing with my awareness and my beingness. And it was a soul contract that they would come at that point in time in my life and pick me up. And they did. And they facilitated an experience where they maintained the life force of my body. And so I could take this journey, because I've astral traveled, I've traveled the ethers, you know, I've had incredible experiences in my life. And this was different. This was everything that animates this body into being was going to come out. Total consciousness and state of being. And so they just needed to maintain the life force of my body. Without the use of technology, we had a soul contract that they would use their love to maintain my body in an organic way. And so off I went. I came out of my body and I took this journey. And it was incredible to see a whole cosmic paradigm of billions and billions of galaxies just shrink down into a vortex of light, you know? And that one spin of that vortex of light, a tiny vortex of light, was eons and eons and eons of evolution inside a cosmic paradigm. You know, that just that perspective was phenomenal. And then I traveled further up into higher planes of existence, and it's hard for me to verbalize what I actually experienced. But I got to a point where I looked outside this universe and I saw into what's called the omniverse. I'm labeling it the omniverse, because universe is one verse. It's
right.
It's one singular expression of life. And this universe, the construct is light. And out there, all the other universes I saw, their construct was different. Now, I can't explain them with this level of awareness down inside this universe. But what I rediscovered and re-remembered was all those universes are us. So what we do on a universal level is we express ourselves, and then that construct of that expression is every, each one is a different construct. And we look at each other and we go, now that's cool. You know, that's really cool. And I want to learn how to be like that too. So I will send a spark of me inside of you into your universe, your construct, and I'm going to learn how to be like you. Now, when I'm inside your universe, you are God to me. You are the creator of that universe, right? So what I'm saying is, when you connect with this universe, the creator of this universe, the being that we call God, then it'll be the first one. This being will be the first one. Not a he, not a she, it's both, right? To tell you that you exist infinitely beyond it does on this level of life, and that we are equal. So we all have our own universes. We are all the creators of our own universes, and we've all, a part of us has chosen to come inside this one, as we do to each other, and learn the construct of life. And to know that, I mean, that is, I'm giving you the most incredible piece of information right now. And the amount of people that are just saying, my heart sings when I hear this, George, you know, because it totally resonates. Because if that is true, if what I've just shared with you is true, then that truth is inside everybody. And that's what I say. I'm actually not sharing anything new here, Mel. All I'm doing is trying to help people to re-remember who and what we actually are. Because very soon the veil is going to be removed and people are going to remember. So I'm not going to go about sharing anything that I don't feel is accurate. Do you know what I'm saying?
Of course. And it's been dormant. It's waking up now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the transition that humanity on this planet is going through. We are breaking free from these shackles and chains, you know, that have kept us bound. We are in the process of becoming, you know, what our intended outcome is.
And of course, go on. You know that history has been mythologized in this plane, if you will, and history is written by the winners. So it's almost as if we're being kept in this darkness, that we're not supposed to know who we are and where we come from, because if we knew, things would be totally different, and the control that's over our heads, we'd cease to exist. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. And to be coming out of that now and breaking free from that control, it'll be such a euphoric feeling and such a relief. You know, once I took this journey, it changed me completely, as you could probably understand. And that's why I became targeted as well. But I won't go into that just yet. So I'll stay with that understanding, because when you sit there and you contemplate that we are infinite, because even when I talked about the omniverse, all of us as universes are a part of collectively what I'll label the omniverse. But then that omniverse is a part of something else, which is a part of something else, which is a part of something else. So when I was there looking outside this universe and rediscovering what life is about, I also reconnected with, you know, trying to grasp the totality of life, and I couldn't do it. The reality is life is infinite. That's a reality. Now, to contemplate what is infinite, this is the key, because you've got to go beyond the intellectual concept of what is infinite. Once you do that, then it transcends into the beingness, okay? You once again, you know that you are infinite, and you start being that infinite nature, okay? And that is a transition from slavery to freedom, okay? Because when I was up there looking at life to the full extent, all I could perceive from a universal level of consciousness was the omniverse, and beyond, I couldn't grasp any more from that. You know, that's all I can share right now down here back inside this universe at the very near bottom of it, okay? So we are truly infinite. That is what I can say. I can share with you that we always have been and we always will be, and that we have never been born or spawned out of some God matrix construct. Now, once you know that, you are totally free from religions. You are totally free from collective hive minds. You are totally free from any energy or consciousness that wants to come in over the top of you and control you. Okay? This is total freedom. It's a very, very big golden key to freeing and liberating one's spirit, what I'm sharing here right now.
But, George, if we are truly, and what you're saying to me is that we are truly sovereign beings, right?
Yes.
If we are truly sovereign beings and we have free will, how is it that some of these beings who claim to be benevolent are abducting people? Isn't that a violation of our free will?
Yeah, to understand that free will, do we have free will? You know, before I explain that, there's a higher part of us that orchestrated this life that we're having. Well, if you really contemplate that concept, then you realize that you as Mel and me as George, we don't actually have free will. Our egos want to continue to claim that we have free will, but I didn't orchestrate this life I'm having, okay? A greater part of me did. George did not. George is the part of me that's living and experiencing this life that was orchestrated by a much higher aspect of myself, and the same with you and the same with everybody. Once you realize that, once you release and you let go of this life that you're having here as Mel and what I have done as George, and I surrendered to my greater self, that aspect of me that chose to come here, that created this life in this first place and all the experiences to achieve a particular outcome, then that's how you become free. First, you've got to free yourself within yourself, okay? Charity starts at home. So you got to become, you can't love anybody else really unless you love yourself first.
Right, right, good point.
It's the same concept. So become free within yourself. Let go of wanting to control things around you in this life and allow yourself to flow in that river of life, your much grander river of life, you know. And I understand these concepts are a little bit difficult for people to grasp, you know. But just sit down with a cup of tea on your veranda and just contemplate them. That's all I ask, really. And then you become free. You really do.
So you're saying that we're not what some people say, that we have been, our DNA has been altered, which became from Homo sapien to Homo sapiens sapiens, and from the caveman to where we are today, or that we came from monkeys. That is all distorted information to keep us under control. Do you agree so far with that?
I'll say there is truth in that, but people tend to make a small part the whole. Yeah, this is how they manipulate.
Half a truth is still a lie.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. A partial truth. And they'll make that the whole. And that's how they work, because if they don't use some truth, then you're not going to connect to it. You're not going to grasp it and hold on to it throughout the ages. Humanity's not going to do that. So there has to be a truth in what they share. So really what has happened here is the original indigenous hominoid form that was created with the natural environment and the biodiversity of this planet. And then with that, many races have come here from all over and blended their genetics to create this universal human form that holds all the codes of life in it. So really, we are a melting pot of the universe. So, excuse me, any extraterrestrial life out there can come and incarnate into this human form and have the experiences we are having. So technically, we're all ETs, you know? There's only one race that is indigenous to this planet, you know, and even they know originally their origins come from the Pleiades, and that's the Australian Aborigines. Their chromosomes are different to every other human form on this planet. So they're the oldest and most ancient original humanoid form, but they will tell you our ancestors are the Pleiades when you sit down with the elders and talk with them. So really, this planet from the very inception has been created from out there. The whole concept of why this planet was created. So now we're working our way back. Because, you know, when I said we came into the universe to learn this construct of life, we came down through every single level of this universe and experienced all possibilities and outcome. And we fragmented incredibly to have all these different experiences. But now we needed to bring all these experiences back to reintegrate all that wisdom that was gained. And we've come into this galaxy, which is a fractal of all other galaxies, and then we come into this solar system and then onto this planet. And this has been this road to compression. That's why this reality is so dense, because we need to integrate everything back to zero point, back to oneness and harmony, or all our fragmented states and experiences.
So when one says, who are we? Basically, that would vary, because we are from different places, is what you're saying?
Yeah. So my answer would be, who are you, George? And I'll say, well, the majority of my consciousness in this particular life comes from Sirius. But what I truly am is the end result of the intended outcome of entering this universe, going through the whole range of experiences that this universe has to offer. Everything. Like I'll categorically get up here and say, I have been the most evil of evil that has ever existed, Mel. That anything that is as evil as you could possibly conceive in this universe, I have been that and I have done that. And I have been the most loving and the most compassionate and the most caring of anything possible in this universe. I have done that too. You see, I know where I've been, I know what I've done, and I know what I'm doing here, and I know why I'm here. And I am on this planet because I am bringing all that back into balance. So I can actually graduate and become a universal creator of this energy and construct we call light and love.
So, of course, the next question to everybody, especially with everything we're seeing on this planet right now, is where are we going?
Yeah. And that's the fascinating thing is to you know, when I said I know what I'm doing here and where I'm headed, you've got to realize that there are many people that know this for themselves. We haven't done a course to achieve this knowing. Some have used, you know, different paths to actually provide triggers to get to this knowing. But you'd be surprised how many people haven't done any courses, but innately have this knowing inside of themselves already, deep in their core of their hearts. This is way beyond any mental programs. Okay, this is into our essence. And so we have this understanding. And more people every day are reconnecting to this, are reawakening to this naturally occurring knowledge and wisdom, all right? That's why I'm saying I'm not teaching anyone anything new here. And, sorry, can you ask me the question? Oh, where are we headed? So the outcome of this is with the planet, she's about to transform, because it's to understand that this planet is a woman, for starters, the feminine consciousness. And she's about to give birth to this new way of life. And these extraterrestrial races out there, they know this. They are really, really jealous of this. There are some groups that don't have the knowledge of this, but the ones who are really into the power and the control, they know this. And they're doing their hardest to keep it a secret for as long as they can. Because right at the very end, when the changes begin to happen, then people haven't got time to contemplate. And if a hand reaches out to say, come with us, we'll look after you, then that's the first thing people are going to do. It'll be, they'll because they're still maintained in more of a primordial, what would you say, flight or fight, you know, sort of mm-hmm. scenario, that instinctive behavior of, what's the word I'm looking for? Survival. Yeah, survival mode. Then that's where they're going to be behaving from. And they're not going to be in this higher state of awareness from contemplating all these different other avenues that are available, you know, because there are quite a few possibilities that people will take in these next coming couple of years.
Let me just inject a quick parenthesis here. Without any scientific explanation, I've always suspected or associated the sun as the father, father's son, and the earth as the mother, mother earth. Yeah. There is no life without either one. How true is this statement?
Absolutely 100% total universal fact. I can't make it any more profound than that. You know, it is exactly that. I recommend people who have this ability. I say to people, don't take my word for what I'm sharing. I said, you connect with Mother Earth herself and ask her yourself. I say, you connect with Father Sun and ask Father Sun himself, what is actually really going on here? What's this solar system about? Why did they manifest themselves? Why did Father Sun manifest itself as a star, as the sun? And inside of its body, its beingness, it has accommodated all these other planetary systems, which just so happen to be the 12 archetypes of the universal consciousness. You know, and then you have this incredible woman that's manifested herself as this planet. So who is she, and why did she choose to manifest herself as this planet? And the courage, and my goodness, the courage it took, like, to really understand what she has done for us. I mean, people have totally forgotten this natural occurring connection. Let me give you an example. Besides the fact that you actually exist here because of her in the first place, there's a forgotten truth. The most basic of basics that there is to comprehend and understand. Another one is, you're on her body. You are so intimately connected with her. You're breathing her air. Right now, you're breathing her air. Everybody who's listening to this is breathing. So they are actually so immersed in her. We're swimming inside of her body, her energetic patterns. We are taking her oxygen inside of us. We drink her water. We eat her food. And these are the forgotten, most basic, foundational truths of our existence. And so why are we so connected physically to this incredible woman, this incredible planet, yet in our awareness, we don't remember that. We don't contemplate these things on a regular basis. It's because of this mind program that I talked about, this illusionary, synthetic mental construct of awareness that has been, you know, imposed upon the human psyche. And that is why. So people say, oh, how do I connect with Mother Earth? I'm not connected. I'm not, you know. Well, you are. We are all intimately connected to her. It's just getting past that mental wall that's inside of our minds.
And since you're mentioning planet Earth as a female, we've heard of, of course, the term divine feminine. And women throughout history have been displaced. We'll look at Mary Magdalene, which probably had more responsibility than we tend to attribute it her for now, because history has been rewritten. Do you think that the divine feminine was there before and man could not deal with it, and that's where we are in the world we are today? Wars, poverty, and that maternal instinct is gone because of man taking over, because we cannot deal with our egos to know that it's women who can really give us balance and peace to this planet?
Absolutely. It is this planet is a woman. It is the manifestation of the divine feminine. In other words, the feminine expression of this universal creator.
Sophia.
Has Christ Sophia. That's when you get, you look at the personality of the planet, when you connect with her on a personality level, like me as George, you know, and you as Mel, that 3D personality level that we have here, then you know her as Lady Gaia.
Yeah.
You've probably heard that being, you know, bandied around, that name, that label.
Of course.
Well, that's her earthly personality. When you go deeper into her and you go to her core, her heart, you hit this consciousness, which is on the same vibrational level as the sun, but is feminine in nature and is the Christ Sophia energy. And you realize, when you hit that core, you realize who she is. You remember who she is. And I bore my eyes out. It melts your ego in an instant. And I can assure you, I challenge anybody to do this. I really do. Because when you go in there and you realize who she is, the whole thing just blows wide open. And the role that Mary Magdalene played and the role that Jesus played, for example, just because it's recent times and we're in our society is a more Christian in nature. So I'm going to use these beings as an example. They were the walking incarnation of the sun and the earth. Jesus Christ, Son of God, is not S-O-N, it's S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
The terminology S-O-N was used just to describe different layers and levels for those who didn't have the capacity to understand dimensional planes and different levels of consciousness, right? So when you have, for example, Orion, that is a higher aspect of the sun. Because I didn't quite get to the universal model, Mel. It's a lot to, like I said, there's a lot to share in a short space of time. So I'll go through it really fast. Universal consciousness, taking responsibility for this incredible journey and creation that's happened, massive expansion and awareness, then both of them together manifesting themselves as galaxies. One's called the Andromedan Galaxy, one's called the Milky Way Galaxy. We call it the Andromedan Galaxy because it's Andras, its husband, and its man. And right next door to that one is the Milky Way, which is the nurturing of the mother's milk. You know, it's understanding why we call things certain labels, you know. And therefore, we've all come inside this galaxy, and this galaxy is a fractal of all other galaxies. So every star system in this galaxy is a fractal of a galaxy because we're on the road to compression, where we're bringing everything back into oneness. So this galaxy is the densest galaxy that exists in the universe. And then the stepping down of energies again, we went into the Orion Nebula, which is incredibly big. It's like a galaxy within a galaxy. So the Andromedan Galaxy stepped its consciousness now down from a galactic level to a star system level. And we all went in there and played out the male warring energy. Hence the archetype of the hunter, which is the symbol of Osiris and Orion, okay? Because that's who Osiris is, it's Orion. And the equivalent, the female stepping her energies down from a galactic consciousness to a star system consciousness is Sirius. So you've got Orion and Sirius, male and female aspects of the universal creator. All the other star systems are all us, okay, that are alongside of them. So we're all stars, we're all planets, we're all galaxies. That's another thing I haven't had time to share with you. And then the Osiris and Isis came together and had a son called Horus, okay, which is our sun. Yep, Ra. And then the female aspect of that, of Isis, stepped her consciousness down and manifested herself as this planet known as Hathor. So you had Horus and Hathor as the counterparts. And so you've got the two of them taking responsibility and creating what's known as the divine plan for funneling and on this road to compression, these compressed states, continually creating microcosms of macrocosms down to the point where we have the whole universe represented in one planetary reality where we can all incarnate into a single embodiment and play out the final stages of rebalancing everything, reintegrating everything that we've been, everything that we've done in this entire journey throughout this universe, and get to a point where we compress it right down to zero point, which is what this Mayan calendar is trying to tell us, and get it right down to zero point, to the point of compression into infinite consciousness, and then we are birthed and born into these universal creators. And that's really what this ascension process is all about. And that's for people who actually feel that that's going to take place. Because if they don't feel that they're a part of that outcome, then they're going to find themselves in a different trajectory and not a parallel timeline, as some people say. They're actually going to have to leave the planet physically, you know, and go into other realities. Because what this planet is doing is becoming something new. She's going to become a body of light. And so the lowered paradigms of this planet will no longer exist. And that sounds pretty full on, I know, but I'm just sharing with you. And so the divine feminine in nature of who and what this planet is so important to understand, because who has the ultimate power here? And that's women. That's the reality. And there's a lot of men who just, you know, they can't cope with that because that's their frail male egos who have to always be on, you know, on top and in control and all these sort of processes that we as men tend to go through. And really, when you look at it, when you look back 2,000 years and you really look at the role that Mary Magdalene played, it was enormous. And that's why she was called a prostitute. And that's why Morgaine was viewed as someone who's very dark, because those beings have come to the planet again as Arthur and Morgaine. And it's the same process again. Arthur was the shining light. The male was the shining light. And Morgaine was portrayed as being dark and manipulative and evil. So to me, it's quite obvious.
Before we started the show, we started chatting about one of my guests, Gregory Sams, who wrote a book called Son of God. And he says that with his research that the sun is a conscious entity. And then now you're mentioning Orion, and I think of Robert Bouval, another researcher who connected the location of the Great Pyramids with Orion. And then I go back now to the Sphinx. The Sphinx is it portrays the sun or a lion. I believe you said that in the past, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. The pyramids were built in around 12,500 years ago. And the reason they were built by beings that came from Orion and from Sirius in a joint effort, and some Pleiadians as well, because I haven't really quite gotten to the role the Pleiadians are playing. They're a very, very big role for the Pleiadians as well. They're the three star systems that have invested more than any others really into this reality. Arcturians are very important as well. Everybody has, but some have invested more, that's all. And the pyramids were actually placed on Earth in exact alignment with the way the Orions built were 12,500 years ago, and anybody can research that and look that up. That's actual fact.
And that's exactly the number that Bouval came up with via computer models, because of the precession of the equinoxes. You know, it changes a little bit, but if you put it all together, it's 10,500 BC, so you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And really, it's what the reason for that was to anchor that male energy. You know, that warring male energy, that so much of it on a universal scale got transmuted in Orion. That because we needed to, and I say we because I was a part of that group that came 12,500 years ago, as insane as that might seem, and we built the pyramids 12,500 years ago. And by the way, we used sound to build them. Uh-huh. We levitated the stones. It was very, very easy. Happened very fast.
Let me stop you for 1 second. I hate to do this, but do you realize that when you're saying all this, it is really resonating with me as if my mind is saying, yep, that's right. It was sound. I always suspected that it was sound vibrations used to levitate this massive stone. So please proceed.
Yeah, it's I can tell you this concept. It's very simple. I can't physically do it at the moment with this level of consciousness, but I know how we did it. All you do is we're using universal sound now, because you've got to go to the subatomic level. You alter the rate of the spin of the atoms, which then alters the rate of the vibration of the molecules. And the rate of vibration of the molecules is what determines the density of matter. Okay? That's the way it works. So that's all that needed to be done. It's very simple. From that cosmic point of view, from that greater awareness point of view, it's a very easy thing to do. So it's not, it's way beyond rocket science, okay, for want of a better cliche. So, where were we? The pyramids were placed in that part of the world, in those ley lines, because we needed to anchor that male energy of control, of power, of domination and war into the earth plane, so we could actually, in the next phase of our journey, play out
that energy needed to come here to be a part of the set of experiences that we required for us to reattain balance in our souls and this road to compression. And it really is exemplified by so much of what took place in the ancient cultures, because Atlantis, the Atlantean empire, that global empire back then, really fell away soon after that, because the energy was so intense that people became corrupted with power and control. The Atlantean empire really just decimated the Lemurian cultures, you know, way before then anyway. And so it became very technological in nature, and it was more about power and control. And then that really was, you know, soon after that was the halfway point of the cycle, and it was the actual what we call the pole shift and the famous flood that took place. And the Egyptians, unfortunately, did not build the pyramids. The Egyptians built the little crumbly ones to emulate, you know, to emulate the main pyramids that were built. So it's the little crumbly ones that were built with slaves. They're much younger than the main pyramids. And the Sphinx has two things going on with that. There's two images. It symbolizes two things. The first, the Sphinx was first had a dog's head on it, the Anubis head. If you look at the body of the Sphinx, it's not actually a cat's body. It's actually a dog's body. Uh-huh. The cat's body is far more arched as you get towards the hind legs, whereas a dog's back is more level. So that represents the Anubis symbol originally, not an entity called Anubis, by the way. It represents the dog star of Sirius.
So it's not a lion?
It originally it wasn't. It is also a lion in the sense that of the lion beings of Sirius and the lion representing the sun.
Right.
So what people need to understand is everything has a multidimensional format to it. There's never just one reason for something existing. Okay, that's we habitually, because we have linear thought patterns here,
yes.
We always look for one answer in something, whereas everything is multidimensional. So the Sphinx represents many things on many levels. It's not just one, okay?
I have a question, though, about the Sphinx, because if you look at the face, it portrays Pharaoh. Did they change the face from the lion to... Because if you look at it now, the body is bigger, if you will, than the face, and now it's the face of the Pharaoh. Was that done because of the Egyptian ego, and they had to shave up some of the stone?
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly why it was done. Because the energetic patterns were just ego-based. It was all about power and thirst. And I just want to reiterate, too, the Akhenaten Nefertiti thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to clarify something here. Because academia and the people, the controlling structures in the Egyptian culture today, they're claiming that they built the pyramids, of course. And it's really sad because, you know, obviously they didn't. And the Egyptian culture was not... Akhenaten and Nefertiti were not part of the Egyptian culture. That's the point I want to make clear. They actually came here around 20 at the beginning of the precession of the equinoxes, and they were part of the culture that was here for thousands and thousands of years, way before even the halfway point of the cycle. So they were here from about 24,800 years ago. And that's just one thing I want to clarify. Their time, and that time in Amarna and the golden period of Akhenaten and Nefertiti was way, 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 way back. Okay? It's so much further back than everyone's being led to believe. They came here to set the stage for the precession, this cycle, this last cycle that planet Earth was going into, because they are elders of Sirius, and their body shapes. You look at their bodies, you look at their craniums, the whole family. And then you realize that those same craniums exist all over the world. You know, it's not an illness, you know. These are beings from Sirius. These are Syrian beings. That's what my body on Sirius looks like. That's just one thing I want to clear up, because there's a whole lot of stories going around.
And George, we have to take our one and only intermission, so tell us how to get in touch with you. And by the way, folks, we have so much more to talk about. 2012 is coming, and George has a lot to talk about that. But tell us how to get in touch with your work. I know you're touring all over the place. Tell us more.
Yeah, we just completed an Australian tour, and we're heading over to Spain and England, and then we're heading to Sweden, Slovenia, and Greece. So we're very excited about that. Then we get back to Australia, and then we're heading over to Canada. And at the moment, we're seeking sponsors to get into the US. So if anybody out there wants to help us out with that, we'd very greatly appreciate it. Also, we are creating a new website, and that is our journey home, but it's our dash, there's a dash in between the words, our, or hyphen, our-journey-home.com. And my old website, georgekavassilis.org, O-R-G that is still available. And there's a whole plethora of information on there, and interviews and videos and some literature. So there's plenty there. And our new website will be up and running in the next 3 weeks. There's a landing page there already, and people can purchase the actual tickets for the events of our tours. And the information for the global tour is available on both websites. So very exciting times.
Let's see if I can help sponsor your arrival to the United States, because a lot of people here are interested in listening to what you have to say. And I realize I've been mispronouncing your last name. It's Kavassilis, so I apologize.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I've had it throughout my schooling life as well, and it really doesn't matter. But yeah, I probably prefer Kavassilis, if you can get your tongue around it.
Absolutely. And folks, we have links on our website. This is Mel Fabregas, and you're listening to Veritas. Don't go anywhere. Thank you very much for listening. We're going to talk more with our special guest in our members section. If you're not a member, just head on over to our website, veritasshow.com, and click on the subscribe link to listen to the rest of the show. As a member, have you subscribed to the iTunes link? Let iTunes download all segments of each new show automatically. There's a link in the members section. Just click on it and let iTunes do the rest. We'll take a short intermission, listen to some music, and we'll be right back with more. Enjoy.
Amor, alara, This is Nigel Kerner, and you're listening to The Veritas Show.